of the last century, late 1800s, all the way up to probably the mid-60s, maybe, when television really took over and ruined our lives, we did something together as family units and groups. We sang! We hung out on the porch, we played banjos, we played the gossamer, guitars, the tunes harp. But we did it together. We communicated with each other. We showed the love for each other. Now we're like, hi, we're all together. I remember when I was a kid, I saw these pictures of people on commuter trains, and there'd be like hundreds of them sitting there, newspaper in front of their faces. Do we communicate anymore? And that was from the late 40s that they were saying we didn't communicate anymore. They didn't have any idea. Then all of a sudden we were like this. It all just came upon us so fast. We weren't looking. It just poof one day. But that something died, or has it? There are things happening more every day that want to tear the family unit apart. And out of nowhere, somebody comes up when you take a cigar box and string a rock across it and put a couple strings on it, it's a guitar. From a cigar box?
I had one.
Yeah, if you talk to any of the great jazz musicians who grew up poor black men or whatever, or white guys, whatever, on farms, they didn't have nothing. They had, daddy smoked cigars, so I got his box. And mom had a broom. The broom had a maple handle on it. And it had a piece of the highest, possibly the highest tensile strength wire on the whole farm. Was that little piece of wire wrapped around the top? And tensile strength means it don't stretch. You can take barbed wire or fencing wire or whatnot, and you string it for days, and it just keeps getting longer. But this tensile wire from these brooms didn't stretch. So they learned to play slide guitar and all that on a cigar box. So then when they got these beautiful instruments like Lucille and BB King and stuff like that, it was an easy transition. And all the great rock and roll chords and music came from this era and time. But we forgot. More and more you see that now, people are starting to do things like that, play the dulcimer, make instruments and things like that. I have quite a collection myself, but I can't play any of them yet. And I plan to someday when I have enough time. Hope God lets me bring some of them with me, but he's not going to, because he probably got ones like it up there. Got a clear plan to his glory. So today though, now that I've babbled on like a crazy man, we have to talk about what it is to tell a story. In our society, we go great distances to hear stories. See plays, watch movies, all this is so important, spend so much money on it. Yet, if you look in the Bible, some of the greatest, I mean, I see me to know the story out of this, some of the greatest stories ever told. There's a reason that's said, because they are. They're as relevant 10,000 whatever years ago as they are today. People still relate to each other the same ways. We might just use different medias, but they still relate to each other the same ways. Or they don't. And there's the biggest problem with anything. If you don't communicate with any other people and talk to other people and get feelings across to them in a meaningful way, we just wasted space. If God lives within us, we need to string him out in the way we act, in the way we deal with other people. If we don't, might as well change your name to Tim. So Jesus wasn't a storyteller. She was. They come for miles around to get tuna fish sandwiches and listen to him speak. I simplify it. His stories were riveting. And such few words. He knew the right ones to choose and to put them in sections. When a man lost a sheep, he left that other 100 sheep. He had to go find that one sheep and bring it home. And there was great rejoicing when that sheep was found. A woman might be in her house and lose one of her coins. A great Tarzan. She tore that house upside down to find that coin. Maybe it was a cougar in it. I don't know. But they found that coin. And great rejoicing was found when he had that coin. Which brings us to the story of the day. The story of the prodigal son. This is a dead horse subject. So many preachers have preached on this. I started looking through the internet to see different ones. And boy, I was like, I'm going to be plagiaristic this time and turn off this one. But it doesn't matter. The story of the prodigal son is probably one of the most critical, important stories between us and God. Even though we think of it as like this rich guy and this one kid who wanted to take the money and go. It's more than that. When 100 righteous people get taken to heaven, it's wonderful glory. When one bum repents his ways and is brought into heaven, how much more glorious is that? Said that. Now, that's not to say that we should be bums and making it that way, but that is one of the most precious things to God. It's when one that he thought he might have lost decided, I was lost, but now I'm found. It's an important thing. So, we're going to read the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. And I'll be reading this from the Message Bible. So when you're trying to sit there and follow along with your Bible, or perhaps the one she has up there, it may not necessarily follow into it, but it may. I guess this is not the Message. This is from King James. This will be. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of the goods that fall unto me, and divide them, so I may have a living. And not many days after, the young man gathered up all he had, took his barn and his property and whatnot, and went to a far country, and he wasted it all with substance and various living. So here he is. I sent a 20-year-old to a fancy town with no brains and a third of my income. Why does Dad do that? Why does Dad go, no, I'm not sending you there, you need it. Why did God put us here and tell us go do it? Because he could have said, you're just a idiot. He wanted to see what we would do. What we do with our lives is more important than what he thinks. A man thinks it's what we do of it for God. So he goes there and he blows it all on a loose wild women and song. And before you know it, he's got nothing. 16. I skipped it. Okay, I'll go back. It's back on 14. And when he had spent all, there was a mighty famine in the land, and he began to want. In other words, he started starving. He didn't have money for hot dogs or nothing. He couldn't stop at the 7-Eleven and get one. He was starving. And he went and joined a citizen of that country who sent him in the field to feed his swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that he ate. And no man would give him anything. So, in other words, they're giving these pigs the junk stuff that pigs eat. And he's like, man, I'd eat that stuff. But he was somewhat of a righteous guy because I'm starving out there feeding pigs. I'd be like biting off an ear and tossing it off someone. He didn't even do that. So he was a good kid. Just misdirected. We're good kids. Just misdirected by the devil. I can read the rest of this, but I'm not going to butcher it. I'm just going to talk about it. The father finally is out there on the porch every day. He sits on the porch because he's not to the point in his life where he can sit on the porch and have everybody else do the stuff. The eldest son's out taking care of him. The dad's just sitting on the porch. Watching the horizon. Firmly fixed in his mind what his youngest son looks like. And he sees him coming. Now remember, this younger son now has been in this foreign country feeding pigs. Probably messed up clothes. Not doing too good. But he could see him way up there, like an ant on top of an ant. He could see him coming. And he thinks, that's my boy. And he runs out to him, stretching his hand out to join him back at home. Kind of like somebody else, I think of. Reaching his hand out to us to love us. while we go, stop that, we don't want nothing to do with you. We want to do what we want to do. Our mistake. Finally, the son makes it back and gathers him up, and the servants come out to the old man, and the young man says, here he is. Bring him some clothes, bring him the credit card, that's the ring, by the way. Set him up. He's home. We'll have to get one of the cows in the field, which we're not, we're going to have a barbecue, make his nice biscuit. It's going to be great. In comes the older son. The older son's been here right along, taking care of business, not faltering, always doing what he's supposed to, being a good kid. These are the righteous kids. These are the righteous people in this world. They're there. I have not always been one. I barely am one now. I try. You try. I'll try. And he said, Dad, I've been here every day milking the chickens and plucking the cows and taking care of business for you. And what do you do to me? You got that?
Yeah, we got it.
You got that? Doing what you say, taking care of business for you. This is a long song. This is a line from a rock song. You have to know the second one. And I didn't have no barbecue made for me. We didn't have no fun like that. And he says, son, everything I have, I share with you. Every day, your brother who was dead is alive and whole. Now, I'm sure that the eldest son had many of the convictions his father had, and probably at this point goes, you're right, Dad. I've been the older prodigal son, brother, except I was the younger of the two. I wasn't the prodigal son, I was the non-prodigal son one. And I couldn't figure out how my parents could just, he's back. Get out the chickens, we'll have a barbecue. I see it now, Noah. Earlier I brought up my eldest daughter. I watched the rising. And I pray. And I know how that older man must have felt all those times. Watch him out there for his bony little beady head. Who, like many times my own granddaughter, I called them. If you're of German extraction, you know that that's a term of endearment. That's why saying, it's like saying to your kid, well, you dumb. You don't actually mean they're dumb. You don't actually mean anything mean by it. It's like, you're being silly, dunderhead. I love you, but stop being a dunderhead. And he comes back home and they throw in a big party and the older brother's upset. And he repents his way. So when someone comes into your path and they have a teardrop tattooed on their face, or they're somewhat irrehensible in their actions, or maybe they were a heroin addict, I don't know anybody like that. They deserve a chance. How many chances? Don't ask me. When Peter said to Jesus, well, I'll forgive him seven times. And that was big for a Jewish guy to give up, to forgive somebody seven times. It was like three times was a big one. He was going to double that and do what? Mm-hmm. And Jesus, 70 times seven. This doesn't mean that we're going to, those of us who can do math real fast or anything. How many that is? Well, we give him that many, 700, whatever it is, times, and then we're done with it. No. It's an undetermined number. Forgive them and love them. Do we? Do we see the homosexual and say, oh, you're unclean? Do we see the black and say, oh, you're not white? Do we see the insert name here that we tend to make so easily out to somebody to be not that they are? We kind of remember, like my friend said, they're children of God. Mm-hmm. I got to search this child. I'm proud of that shirt. I don't want to croak, so I'm going to have to go looking for another one. Because I love to wear my religious shirts, not to show it off, but to show that I am. I want us all to be not ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes like a friend of mine said, I'm going to go to this job down here, but I'm not going to wear my cross, because I think they're all Arabs in that place. And I don't, you know, they might be Hindu or whatever, you know. And I don't want to see that. And I said, I wouldn't be in your shoes for nothing, buddy. He said, what? He says, well, you know, what you do to me? You know, it comes back around. I'm proud of what I am and who he is. And I always will be. He might not be too thrilled with me because, you know, it's like my the old thing about my relationship with God. My relationship with God, I kind of mess up. His relationship with me, never a blemish. He's always on that porch, watching for us to come over that horizon. That's what it is to be a father. It's not being Homer Simpson or some other media-generated baloney. It's caring for them when everybody else says you're an idiot for doing that. They say, you know, love people and they'll take advantage of you. Love them anyway. Blah, blah, blah. It was originally stated by Mark Twain, and they want to attribute to different rock stars today. Only goes back further than that. He loves us. That's why we love him, because he loved us. First, before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us well. And we want to pretend it doesn't exist. That this is somebody's Judaic Christian nonsense. I don't think so. Who's had that feeling of God's presence in their heart and was going to say, well, I'm going to tell this big fib and you can't get it out because God's like, no, you're not going to say that dumb thing. Or that compassion that normally would go, I'm not giving that compassion. I'm giving it to myself. God gives you that boot in the butt. And you show that compassion. Mm-hmm. You get older every year. I don't get any smarter. A lot of things I used to be able to do, I can't do anymore. I could go to the supermarket and walk the whole supermarket. Now I don't know if I get much past the front door before I'm going, I need to sit down in this watermelon box here and relax. Probably because I'm eating bad. Shop Dom, you amaze me. Every week you amaze me. And you do too, Brenda. I'm not shortchanging you. I'm amazed by you, by other things. Good ones, too. But down here, something else. Your heart must be the size of an elephant. When you get up here to sing, you give it everything.
You love it. That's much to begin with.
Don't need to be self-deprecating. I do that enough for all of us. Anyway, you want to come up and sing one for us while we have a call to come down to the front? I'll be the only one under the start clock or whatever. But if somebody else wants to come down and talk to her about what God's life means to you and why not, come on down. Live it up, you do. Maybe even hate it.